live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, 26 evangelical church leaders in Donegal have issued a statement calling for compassion for the unborn child and better help for women rather than repealing the Eighth Amendment. A total of 2,500 social houses are needed across Donegal. Meanwhile, the council has been asked to employ an independent housing officer to work with the growing number of people who are presenting as homeless in Donegal. And Donegal County Council is to erect new signage on disabled parking bays to further highlight the fines for parking without a blue badge permit. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Taoiseach has conceded his suggestion of a lock on proposed abortion laws can't be done. Simon Coveney had suggested the move at a cabinet meeting which has resumed in the last few minutes. Sean Defoe reports.
A two-thirds lock would mean if the Eighth Amendment was repealed and new laws brought in, it would take a two-thirds majority in the Dáil and Seanad to change those laws. Simon Coveney said it would make it impossible for one party to change the law and would stop any sliding towards an even more liberal abortion regime in the future. It was discussed at Cabinet, but it would require a change to the Constitution to do it. And Simon Coveney's conceded it's not possible in the current timeframe without greatly delaying a referendum on the Eighth Amendment. The Taoiseach, however, says the heads of bill also discussed by the Cabinet this morning, contained the assurances on abortion he had been seeking. A number of TDs had criticised Simon Coveney for suggesting the lock system, which they rightly said is unconstitutional. Ministers interrupted their discussion on abortion to attend leaders' questions in the House. That meeting is due to get underway again around now. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Meanwhile, 26 evangelical church leaders in Donegal have issued a statement calling for compassion for the unborn child and better help for women rather than repealing the Eighth Amendment. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In the statement, the 26 clergy and lay representatives say, as a group of leaders and church workers from a variety of Christian churches in Donegal, they believe they have a moral and biblical duty to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. They say they hold that all human life is precious and every human has immense dignity, worth, value and meaning, regardless of size, shape, gender, ability or colour. As a nation, they say, Ireland's history shows that society has failed mothers and babies, creating stigma and shame instead of an environment of grace and love. But they say we need to do better. Better at compassion, better at support from conception, better at alternatives like adoption. However, they conclude past failings do not give society the right to determine who should be born and who should not.
Donegal County Council is to erect new signage on disabled parking bays to further highlight the fines for parking without a blue badge permit. Measures include adding the fines and penalties to existing signage while also erecting new signage where necessary. Fines for parking illegally on disabled parking bays were recently increased from €80 to €150. Catherine Gaffney has more details.
In its response, Donegal County Council say that the use of disabled parking bays are well known to drive including potential penalties for those parking illegally, and additional signage should not be necessary. Council officials initially suggested that a selection of key locations in different towns be identified with new signage installed, and this could be monitored to see its effect. The cost would be charged against maintenance budgets, and it's recommended that between 5 and 10 locations be selected by local municipal districts as a pilot project. This proposal was rejected by members who have called for additional signage to be rolled out on a county-wide basis. Councillor Liam Doherty, who moved the motion, expects to see these measures rolled out across Donegal within the next 6 months. Health campaigner Betty Holmes, who attended the meeting, is pleased with the outcome.
A good day for DACC, and more important, for the people who need permit holders for disabled bays in Donegal, and we will sit very tightly on it.
A total of 2,500 social houses are needed across Donegal. Following the distribution of a report yesterday revealing the combined total of households needed on waiting and transfer lists, the local authority is now being urged to fast-track the delivery of planned social units in Donegal. The local authority also outlined various works underway and planned works for the future. However, Councillor Seamus O'Donnell believes this process is too slow in dealing with the evident demand. He says a working task force would speed up the process.
Quite frankly, the response I got from the council, I'm not overly delighted with. They have evaded the fact that they're not going to set up a task force. They're going to trundle along as they are. And quite frankly, I believe that they're not doing enough to provide social houses in a quick enough manner in Donegal. There is money there from central government, but we're not drawn down quick enough because we're not being fast enough in turning greenfield sites into housing estates. And that is simply not good enough for the people of Donegal that are in a crisis situation waiting on social houses from Donegal County Council.
Now, in its reply, they did give you a comprehensive report and it detailed the various measures that have been taken that are currently underway and their plans for the future. But you're saying that this task force would speed up the process that they are already initiating.
Well, it would, because dealing with housing on a daily and weekly basis, I am finding out that the difficulties are that when the council look at a site, they may have planning difficulties, they may have sewerage difficulties, they may have access to roads problems. And I believe that if all of those stakeholders could be put around a table and things tried to work out in a fashion and manner of an emergency, something that is deserved because of the crisis that is impending in housing, that it would fast track it and deliver the houses quicker. The council have said that they feel that they're doing enough, that houses are coming on stream quick enough, and that is ending up with people in our county being homeless, having to live with parents, living in unsuitable accommodation, and that's not good enough in my opinion.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council has been asked to employ an independent housing officer to work with the growing number of people who are presenting as homeless in Donegal. In its response, the local authorities say that work is already underway in setting up a tenancy support and sustainment service which would liaise with those affected and provide supports where required. Councillor Adrian Glacken says he is satisfied with the progress being made by the council, but the shortage of housing for those in need remains an issue.
In the next month, they're going to have a tenancy support and sustainment service, and it's basically what I was asking for. It's 90% funded by the Department of Housing, Planning and Local Government. It's going to liaise with the HSE Mental Health Services, TUSLA, the Community Welfare Service, the Probationary Service and the Council. You know, if people comes in maybe homeless because of addiction or whatever, like, we're going to get them the help that they've asked for, which I really do welcome. But the bigger issue is here the lack of housing. People can ask for what they want with regards to rent, and the HAP doesn't reach this service. So if somebody presents themselves as homeless, this is another issue. They're given, maybe they apply for the HAP, they get granted it, they go looking for a house, then they don't have enough money in the HAP to cover the rent. And even if they do, with regards, you know, their social welfare or whatever, they're being asked then for a month's deposit beforehand and also a month's rent in advance, and this comes to 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 and people just can't afford this.
Leo Radker's Strategic Communications Unit is going to be scrapped. The controversial Government Information Office will be wound down by July, the Taoiseach told the Cabinet earlier. The 15 staff in the unit will be redistributed into other information services across government departments. It's after a review by Ireland's top civil servant was presented to the Cabinet this morning. Police in Strabane say they are becoming increasingly concerned for the welfare of a teenager missing since St Patrick's Day. 15-year-old John Cromlish has been missing from the Omagh area since Saturday the 17th of March. Anyone with information on his current whereabouts or any information which may assist in the investigation is asked to contact the PSNI on the non-emergency number 101. The Twin Towns bypass could now take an alternative route around the town. A previous proposal suggested that the bypass would take the N15 on a southern route. However, this was turned down by Imbor Planalla some years ago. Transport Infrastructure Ireland is expected to announce a new route next month, and it's anticipated that it will entail taking the bypass along a northern route instead. Donegal County Council has committed to reviewing the local area plan once an announcement is made. Councillor Patrick McGowan says it's important that both the plan and preferred route work together.
This is going to have a big effect on existing business and future housing, that to know which route the bypass is. One thing we've all agreed, we all support a route The town needs bypassed. It needs to open up the town. It needs to be bypassed for the whole county and nationally. We don't want any zoning to interfere with whatever it's chosen. But if we're here now trying to zone land and we don't know which side of the town that the bypass will come on, because whatever side the bypass come on, the zoning will have to keep well away in order to make sure that's delivered by the TAA and to make sure that land isn't pushed up in price. None of us wants that. But what we want then is, after the bypass route is selected, we want then to work on a plan. How do we support existing and new businesses in the town? Where is the link roads going to be? And that, because change is coming, so we want to make sure that the Belfast and the bypass and the Belfast area plan work in tandem, work together, all about community land, business land, housing, whatever else. It needs to be all done together. It needs to be done out in the public as well.
The interim Garda Commissioner says he absolutely shares the concerns of mid-ranking Gardaí about the lack of supervision on new recruits. The Association of Garda Sergeant and Inspectors annual conference has heard calls for at least 160 new superintendents. Commissioner O'Callaghan says the lack of supervision is a legacy issue that will be addressed by summer, but he admits that it's a matter of concern, particularly considering ongoing issues within the force.
I absolutely share that concern. I've just finished a tour of the country where I visit every chief superintendent in their own areas and divisions. And it has been a constant refrain that supervision is a problem in the context of lack of supervision. If we look at some of the legacy issues we're currently dealing with, we'd have to say that it was in the space of lack of supervision that maybe got us to where we were with some of those issues.
The North's Department for Infrastructure has published a multi-agency review of August's unprecedented flooding in Derry and Tyrone. The review, which was jointly led by the Department for Infrastructure, the Executive Office and Derry City and Strabane District Council, gathered evidence from emergency responders, their voluntary sector, government organisations and others. A public meeting takes place in Derry later this week to discuss the report and its findings. Greg Hughes has more.
The review found that following heavy and persistent rainfall within an 8 to 9 hour period, the combined multi-agency response was timely and effective. However, the review has also captured a number of learning points and identified 14 recommendations to further enhance our resilience to future flooding. These include establishing community resilience groups in the Northwest, improvements to flood incident reporting, and providing support for community volunteers. A public information day will be held on Thursday at the Everglades Hotel in Derry, with representatives attending from government departments, the Met Office and the Red Cross present. The department says they will engage with local people on the review findings and also answer any other flooding-related questions they may have. Copies of the report will also be available on the day.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
And the time is 14 minutes past five, and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We're going to start with some golf news. John Rahm will defend his Dubai duty-free Irish Open title. The Spaniard will be hoping to become the first player since Colin Montgomery in 1997 to retain the Irish Open. Ballyliffin hosts the event this year, which gets underway on the 5th of July. Ballyliffin General Manager John Farran was pleased with today's announcement when I spoke to him a little earlier.
The leading light in world golf at the moment, world number three, and rising rapidly, Kenny. So we're delighted he's confirmed to return and defend his title in Ballyliffin, and hopefully it'll be the first of many big names we'll hear over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I suppose leading up to that event, people will just make their decisions at the end. I suppose the main big names, but there'll be huge numbers of European Tour members coming to that event, John.
Oh, guaranteed, Kenny. With so many Ryder Cup points at stake, and this being a Ryder Cup year, it's critical that anybody aspiring to make the Ryder Cup team is playing in Ballyliffin in the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. So we're expecting one of the strongest fields in world golf this year to be in Ballyliffin come July.
Yeah, it's only slightly more than 3 months away, John, and the momentum's starting to build in the lead up to that with news of ticket sales and stuff like that starting to come into the public domain.
Yeah, ticket sales are going very well. Online tickets are available at eventbrite.co.uk. So there's still great value to be gotten there. They released the grandstand tickets for the 18 at the start of the week. And I see this as being the start of a series of announcements with player announcements and hospitality and entertainment announcements coming down the line very shortly.
That's John Farron there, pleased with John Ram coming to defend his Irish Open title that takes place in Ballyluffin on the 5th of July. Moving on to Gaelic games, and the Kerry ladies footballers have been docked 3 points from their Division 1 total. The LGFA have confirmed that Kerry were in breach of Rule 55, which pertains to the fielding of unregistered players. The incident occurred during Kerry's 2-14-2-6 win over Mayo on the 4th of February, the Kingdom's only victory of this season's competition. Kerry were found to have fielded 3 ineligible players, and the points have now been awarded to Mayo. The decision leaves Kerry needing to win over Westmeath on Sunday to avoid the threat of relegation. Moving on to soccer, and the Irish under-17s have completed the European qualification campaign with a 100% record. Troy Parrott's penalty 3 minutes into the second half gave Colin O'Brien's side a 1-0 win over Poland. Ireland will head to this summer's finals in England, having won all 6 of their qualifiers and conceding just 1 goal. And Declan Rice is back in the Republic of Ireland under 21 side for this evening's European Championship qualifier with Azerbaijan. Kickoff in Tala is at 7:30, and the Irish under-19s can qualify for this summer's European Championships this evening. Tom Owen's side need a win away to Portugal, and that game's just underway. In other news, Bohemians will discover their second round opponents in the EA Sports Cup tonight. Athlone Town, they play host to UCD, with the winners travelling to Dalymount on Easter Monday. Kickoff tonight, 7:45. And it's also been confirmed that the other outstanding first round tie, the meeting of St Mochta's and Drogheda United, will also be played on Monday. And the use of a fourth substitute during extra time of knockout games has been confirmed by UEFA for next season's Champions League and Europa League. Among the other alterations, 12 replacements will be able to be named on the bench for finals as well as the Super Cup. European football's governing body has also clarified that on every group stage match day, 2 of the Tuesday and 2 of the Wednesday games will kick off at 5-6 Irish time, except for the final round of games. And England manager Gareth Southgate, he hopes fans will be patient with his young team in tonight's friendly with Adelaide Wembley. They go into the match in the back of a 1-0 win over the Netherlands on Friday. Kickoff on that one is at 8 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock, Scotland manager Alex McLeish is looking for a good result and performance in tonight's friendly away to Hungary. He's promised to name a more experienced side after picking 4 uncapped players from the start in their defeat to Costa Rica. Moving on to athletics, and 3 young Donegal athletes have arrived with Team NI in Australia for a training camp at Somerset College to finalise preparations for the Commonwealth Games 2018 in Brisbane. 17-year-old Summer Leckie, a student at Strabane Academy, will compete in the high jump. Her Fun Valley teammate Dempsey McGuigan, a student at Mississippi University, throws in the hammer, and Rachel Dara from Rafoe will compete on the badminton court. Leckie's target is the height to make the final, while McGuigan, who's in a second games after competing in Glasgow 2014, is looking to return to the final. Dara, along with Kieran and Sinead Chambers, make up the 3-person badminton team. They'll be the first in action on Thursday, the 5th of April. Dempsey will throw on Sunday, the 8th of April, and Summer jumps in the preliminary round of the high jump on April the 12th. Moving on to boxing, Britain's heavyweight world champion Anthony Joshua insists he's not looking past facing Joseph Parker in Saturday's unification fight in Cardiff. He'll put up his WBA and IBF fights on the line against the WBO holder. If Joshua's successful, there's speculation he could then attempt to unify the division by taking on WBC champion Deontay Wilder. In tennis, it looks like Rafa Nadal could be close to a return from a hip injury. The 16-time Grand Slam champion's been named in the Spanish team to face Germany in next week's Davis Cup tennis quarter-final. Nadal's not played competitively since retiring hurt during the last 8 match with Marin Cilic at the Australian Open. Finally, for this evening, Australian cricket head coach Darren Lehman could be the first casualty of the ball tampering scandal. The Daily Telegraph claims he's preparing to announce his resignation. Cricket Australia boss James Sutherland's in South Africa to meet with the players and staff today, with captain Steve Smith and a senior leadership group waiting to find out what their punishment is for the tape scandal with the ball in South Africa. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Leo Varadkar has defended the decision to expel a Russian diplomat from the country in solidarity with the UK. We don't know yet who that embassy staff member is or what their role was. The government says they believe Russia was behind the nerve attack in Salisbury and they don't believe there's any other plausible explanation. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says they'll stand in solidarity with the UK on the issue.
We affirm that all EU member states stand in unqualified solidarity with the United Kingdom in the face of this grave challenge to their security, or rather our shared security. The use of chemical weapons, including the use of toxic chemicals as weapons by anyone, anywhere, is particularly loathsome and reprehensible. And the attack in Salisbury was not just an attack on the United Kingdom, but an affront to the international rules-based order on which we all depend for our security and well-being.
It's emerged that the North's Education Authority is seeking a site to develop a young adult centre in Strabane. Responding to questions from West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan, the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Education confirmed that officials are in contact with the Advisory Committee of the Youth Club at Melvin Hall with regards to identifying a suitable location. Mr McCrossan says such a development is badly needed.
We've written back to the Permanent Secretary to ask how far on in that process they are and roughly what is the timescale for this, and also in the absence of an executive and a minister, what effect would that have in terms of actually progressing the project, that we make it a reality for the young people of Strabane. And it is ridiculous that in 2018 that we have no full-time purpose-built facilities in Strabane for young people when every other area such as Derry and Omagh have very good ones.
And finally for weather now, scattered showers this evening becoming more isolated inland with blustery westerly winds and becoming rather cool. Lowest temperatures tonight of 0 to 3 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, 26 evangelical church leaders in Donegal have issued a statement calling for compassion for the unborn child and better help for women rather than repealing the Eighth Amendment. Donegal County Council has been asked to employ an independent housing officer to work with the growing number of people who are presenting as homeless in Donegal. In its response, the local authorities say that work is already underway in setting up a tenancy support and sustainment service which would liaise with those affected and provide supports where required. Police in Strabane say they are becoming increasingly concerned for the welfare of a teenager missing since St Patrick's Day. 15-year-old John Crumlish has been missing from the Omagh area since Saturday the 17th of March. And Donegal County Council is to erect new signage on disabled parking bays to further highlight the fines for parking without a blue badge permit. Measures include adding the fines and penalties to existing signage while also erecting new signage where necessary. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 27th of March. The sudden death has taken place of Anne Bradley, 9, Woodbrook West, Derry. Funeral from her home on Thursday morning at 20 past 9 to St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, for a funeral service at 10 o'clock. House private pleas from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Monday at 10 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to St Vincent de Paul, 21 to 25, Lower Main Street, Buncrana. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has taken place of Emily Patricia, Paddy McNeil, Ballyariston House, Portneau. Her remains will repose at her residence from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow. Funeral from there on Thursday afternoon at 2:30 to Inishkeel Parish Church for funeral service at 3 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Annie McFadden, late of Dunmore Lane, Falkara. Her remains are reposing at her residence, Dunmore Lane. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Finian's Church, Falkara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Rose Harkin, formerly of Clagan, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her son-in-law Patrick Sharkey's home at Carnbrae, Quigley's Point. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 to St Columbus Church, Drumquigley's Point, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Desmond McDermott, Ross Gear, Lifford. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Coonwirra, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. And the death has occurred of Margaret Crossan, née Macaulay, Glenfad, Port Hall, Lifford, formerly of Sallows, Letcher Barrow. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.